This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shaoning and Chen Li. Let's get a quick update of how the bursa is looking like at 9:20 this morning.
Still in the red, guys. It's actually down 0.4% to 1596 at the moment. Rest of the markets are actually in the green except for Nikkei 225, which is kind of flat at the moment. It is down 0.9%.
But we see that the STI is up 0.1%, if I'm seeing correctly, if I'm wearing my goggles and
yes.
0.1%.
You don't need your goggles. You just need a colleague with very good glasses, which tells you you are correct.
And by goggles, I mean binoculars. But anyways, let's talk about Singapore then, because in the first quarter of 2022, the Straits Times Index snatched the gold in the APAC region with a 9.6% total return.
The Lion City is also seeing brighter days with more easing of border restrictions. The Malaysia-Singapore land border is set to reclaim its title of one of the busiest land crossings in the world thanks to the reopening that began last Friday. But who will stand to benefit from this reopening, and how has the Straits Times Index performed in the first quarter of 2022?
So for some thoughts on this, we speak to Jeff Howie, market strategist at the Singapore Exchange. Jeff, good morning. Always good to have you. Now, Singapore continues to outperform with the STI up close to 10% on a year-to-date basis. For a change, banks aren't the reason for this, but names like Sembcorp and Keppel Corp. Is this a proxy for exposure to the rising oil price and a potential rise in capex for that sector?
Yeah, the direction of the energy sector, the capital expenditure, as you mentioned, it's definitely a thematic. But I think moreover, the recent earnings have been a key driver. For instance, we saw Sembcorp Industries net profit before exceptionals up 57% last year. And its conventional energy segment did post that net profit before exceptional items, I think up 52% from FY20. So as you mentioned, those rising energy prices have had an impact. But on the direction of CAPEX, the sustainable solutions business is accounted for something like 35% of the group's net profit before exceptionals last year. And what Sembcorp Industries is doing is pressing ahead with its objectives for sustainable solutions to make up some 70% of the group's net profit by 2025. And for Keppel, you saw the conglomerate report a net profit of $1 billion in FY21. That was a sharp reversal for $500 million loss back in FY20. It was the highest net profit for the group in the past 6 years, pretty much since that initial downturn of the offshore marine sector back in 2015. But the direction of the CAPEX matters as well. So you've got offshore marine contributing 23% of Keppel Corp's revenue last year. That's very different to 2015, when that segment contributed some 60% of its FY15 revenue. So that company is also undergoing this long-term strategic initiative to transform itself into this integrated solution provider for sustainable urbanization. I'll also quickly mention the banks hung in there too. Even though you had the inversion of the yield curve, as you were talking about earlier, we technically had an upward structural shift of the yield curve as well, which also supported the bank. So I just thought I'd add that in.
Jeff, I want to talk about the laggards though. And there's a common theme running through that in terms of the year-to-date losers. So you've got Keppel DC, you've got Frasers Logistics, Mapletree. They all tend to be in the REIT space. What's happening there though?
Yeah, so the REITs really, two things have been weighing the REITs in the first quarter. The first is or what we call the Deltacron and the increase in global cases that got up to, you know, the daily global count got up to 3.4 million people in January, but it has since come down. And we actually have seen the REITs turn around much of those losses in the first 2 months of this year. Not turn it around fully, but REITs were actually kept in line with the energy sector last month globally. In Singapore, REITs really did dominate the net institutional inflows to the market. And this really was on this reopening theme that we're seeing in the market with, not just the REIT sector, but the airlines, the hospitality, the beverage and the consumer cyclical businesses also pretty strong. So really a key driver for the REITs, not so much the interest rates, but more so the reopening theme.
Singapore has announced another round of relaxation with regards to COVID-19 rules for international travel and also domestic measures. Who will stand to benefit from this?
Yes, well, since that announcement, which was made by the PM 10 days ago, you've really seen also it coincided with global momentum in the reopening, as we mentioned, and that really has impacted hospitality and airline stocks. So what we've seen here in Singapore, it's not just a local factor, but we've had other key developments over those 10 days as well. We've seen significant relaxing containment measures also across ASEAN, which have mattered. And by the end of March, that smoothed gauge of daily global COVID cases, it had returned to comparable levels to where it was at the end of February. And lastly, last week, we saw the World Health Organization mention that it does believe COVID-19 will continue to evolve, but importantly, severity is expected to reduce over time. So reopening has been a key driver of these global stocks. So as we said, airlines, beverages, real estate, consumer cyclicals, hospitalities and REITs, seeing much of their momentum over the last week and the last month.
Jeff, let's take a look at the specter of inflation, because Singapore's February headline inflation rose by 4.3% and electricity tariffs will be raised by 10%. So how will that affect the outlook of the STI, and what are the themes that offer a hedge against this inflationary environment?
Well, the SDI does have one key energy constituent, and that, of course, is Sembcorp Industries, which we mentioned. And that has also been the strongest SDI stock so far this year. But within the oil industry, where I guess a lot of the investors have been hedging for the energy spike prices with underlying stocks, the biggest gainers have been in the upstream explorer and producers of the oil and gas sector, or the oil and those companies that have oil or gas reserves or resources that make up the majority of their assets. So energy producing stocks really across the curve have also been impacted. So we have two oil and gas explorer and producers that have been among our top 50 traded stocks so far this year, while the thermal coal explorers and producers have also, one of those key stocks have also joined the top 50 stocks by turnover. So we've seen a significant increase in participation in these stocks that have these underlying energy assets as their as the big part of their balance sheet, and hence that has offered some form of a hedge.
All right, Jeff. Thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Jeff Howie, market strategist at Singapore Exchange, giving us some thoughts on some of the equities trends in the STI space, talking about energy there, closing the conversation with a look at energy. And speaking of energy, if we can just turn our attention to Sapura Energy and the news that's coming out of this company here.
Sapura Energy, Berhad, has secured a temporary deferment from lenders for outstanding interest and coupon payments for its 10.3 billion ringgit multi-currency financing facilities, or MCF in short. According to the firm, the deferment, which is provided throughout the three-month restraining order earlier given to Sapura Energy by the court to sort out its restructuring plan, includes a standstill on related claims for the effective period of the restraining order.
So clearly markets like it, because it's up very marginally this morning. It's actually currently at trading at 4 cents. So it's up 0.005 cents. But if you look at the analyst community, not a darling for sure. There are 13 analysts that cover it. There are only 2 buys and 11 sells. Consensus target price is 3 cents or thereabouts. I think the uncertainty over whether there's enough cash flow from its current operations to fund all the debt is one big question, even though oil price has, of course, on a year-to-date basis, if we look at Brent crude, up close to 36%, it's $103 US a barrel, does mean that all majors will be handing out more contracts. But whether Sapura Energy gets to benefit, and if you're all major and you know that they're having financial solvency issues, would you want to give them any contracts?
I have to say, they don't look like they're able to benefit from the boom in energy, in the energy sector that's going on right now. In any case, stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.